Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 this evening. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Always a privilege to bring the message of the gospel to you today, wherever you may be, and I trust that there will be a word right for your own heart as we come here to Revelation chapter 20. This is a vital portion of God's word if we want to know how we must give account on the other side of the grave. Indeed, on that day of the resurrection and of the great assize, when we will stand before God as in a courtroom and give account. Are you ready for that? These are times when people tremble. But if he really knew the great judgment encounter they will have with a holy God, and the justice that will be exacted on that day, I think many would tremble much more. Now, these are fearful things, but they are real, they are true, and we need to take them to heart. And I trust that today that you will take this message to heart on Revelation chapter 20, the Great Judgment Day. I beg of you to make sure that you are ready to meet God. No excuses, no pan off and say, well, I'll get ready someday when I get old and frail and maybe sick and dying, I'll consider getting right with God. Let me tell you, you could be dead today. This virus that's going around is striking people in their hundreds and thousands in every nation. And this is the need, the urgency of the gospel. Be sure that you are saved. So let's stay tuned as we go to Revelation chapter 20 on the Great Judgment Day. And so all men are going to be there. There is a resurrection of all. That means that everyone in this meeting tonight will be there. You're going to be there. No matter your standing in Christ, no matter what your prayer life is like, no matter what your confession, no matter what your honesty before God is like, you're going to stand before that throne, and so am I. Everyone in Cloverdale will be there. Every one of our neighbors, some of whom we drove by on the way to church here this evening, and our friends, those that sit around our table at times, everyone's going to stand before this white throne. Every Canadian is going to be there. We're told that the great person or people will be there. Jimmy Pattison, probably the richest man in British Columbia, he's going to be there. The great men. The Irvine family of the Maritime area, the oil people, the Trudeaus of this world, they will stand at that white throne as well. Donald Trump. My, imagine going from the White House to the white throne. That'll be a difference. It seems that the White House people can make up their own rules at times, but not standing before the white throne. It will be God's holy standard then. The stock exchange traders, the rich, those that make their millions in a day on earth, they're going to stand there and they're going to give account of every dollar that they have taken. They're going to give account of their practices. There will be a resurrection of all men, the grave of Adam, till the newest grave on earth will open and all men will rise up. We're told that the sea will also give up their dead. There are multitudes of people buried at sea, whether it be deliberately because they're at sea and they've no other way of disposing of the body, or shipwrecks. Think of the Titanic, the hundreds and hundreds that lost their souls, and the shipwrecks of the world, or those that were lost in floods and rivers, just tow them right out into the oceans and they're gone. But the sea will give up their dead and all will stand there on that day. The Lord Jesus taught this truth of the general resurrection of all men. In his earthly ministry, he called people to prepare for it. We're going to go back now to John chapter 5. We're going to read at verse 25, John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And so indeed all will stand there. And those two categories are mentioned, those that have done good and those that have done evil. And so the Christian will be there and we will be examined for our standing in Christ. We will be examined for our service for God. We will be rewarded according to what we have done for Jesus. Did we build on wood, hay, and stubble, the things that will be burned up, or did we build for eternity? The things that are temporal, well, they will be burned up. The things that are eternal, those are the things that count. And some will receive the well done. Pastors and preachers will be there. Elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, church members, adherents, those who wouldn't even enter the church door for whatever reason, are all going to stand before that great white throne. And of course, the ungodly will stand there too, the Hindu, the multitudes of the nations that have worshipped their false gods, the Muslim, the Jew, the Roman Catholic, the Buddhist, and the atheist too, the one who said there is no God, then he will be a fool indeed, a fool. Oh, that you might not be a fool. Yes, because of the white throne, because of the judgment day, those out of Christ will be fools, and none will escape. How will you escape? if we neglect so great salvation? That's a question in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect salvation? We need to call people to give due attention to their need of salvation, because we will stand before God. Now, lastly, we come to the proceedings at the throne. Time is going very quickly here tonight, but I want to look at just some of the proceedings. Things will be done orderly. This is not a mob rule. This is not a kangaroo court. This is not some gerrymandering of men's destinies. This is the proceedings of the eternal and divine courtroom. And we are left in no doubt about how these proceedings will take place. The judge will take a seat. That means authority is given to him. That's his designated work. And the Lord Jesus will, by divine right, call upon all the authority that is vested in him to give true judgment according to the books that are opened. And that is the task of the judge, and it will be perfect justice. Then the books will be opened. We're told in verse 12 that men will be judged, every man according to their works. Now, the idea of God's book, where he retains the information of God's people, is not new. It's not new in the Bible. It's not the first time that we come upon this. Back again in John chapter 5 and verse 28, and I've lost the place myself now, so I'm going back to John 5 and to verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all men that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good. And so good works will be commended unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And so God has a list of our sins, and God will open the books. Now, I think that we have to accept that this is figurative language. God, who is all-knowing, omniscient, does not need a notebook to mark down the details that he needs to remember. He doesn't need to keep a journal or a record. The omniscient God has the capability to recall the details of every life, every moment, every situation, and replay those details, those facts, as required on that judgment day. And God will find a million reasons to condemn souls. There will be a million marks against the ungodly on that day. And you can be sure that the scales of justice will not be teetering one way or the other. But when the weight of men's sins are piled upon those scales, the balances will crash. The weight of guilt, the condemnation will be overwhelming. And the future destiny of souls will be so obvious. Man's swearing, man's blasphemy, man's adulterous thoughts or deeds, lying, Sabbath breaking, stealing, murder in the heart, coveting, even our very passions and our bias and our delight in sin will all be weighed on the balances. And God's memory will be that lie detector that will print out and demonstrate to declare the guilt of every one of us. Now in Romans 2:16 it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And so even we didn't have the book of Revelation, we have in John 5, we have in Romans 2, we have sprinkled through the New Testament this bold declaration of a day when the secrets of men will be revealed. None of us would want our sins to be revealed in this meeting now. None of us would want to hold out on a white sheet at our front door for our community to read the evil that we have done and thought and said. But the secrets of men will be revealed in that day. So it will be a terrible day and a day of condemnation to the wicked. Now we read here about the books in which works are recorded. We also read in these verses of the book of life that records the names of the righteous. And this idea of a book of life and our names written in the book of life is not new. Do you remember how Moses prayed for Israel whenever he made the tables of stone came down and Israel had made a calf? God was angry. He was going to destroy the nation. And Moses said, blot me out of thy book. Now, we all cringe at such a prayer. We all have trouble. How can any man, no matter how passionate, that he would say, now blot my name out of the book. Let me be lost to the salvation of the many. But it does speak of a book. It does speak of a record that God keeps of those names that are in the book of life. In the book of Daniel as well, we're told at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since the nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And so in the Old Testament, amongst these ancient prophets, there was that hope, that knowledge that God keeps a record of the very names of his people. On another account, the Lord Jesus sent out 70 disciples, and they came back rejoicing that the devils were subject to them through Jesus' name. And the Lord said to them, don't rejoice over that, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so this is a biblical theme that is taken up in the Old Testament and in the life of the Lord Jesus, also by the Apostle Paul. I'll let you turn to it, Philippians 4:3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. So here is a New Testament epistle, a letter from the hand of the Apostle Paul, and he's talking about Christians, fellow laborers in the gospel, whose names are written in the book of life. And that's what a Christian is. It is wonderfully reassuring to know that your name is written in God's book, an indelible gospel ink that will never be erased. And it brings joy and security and peace to our souls that God has a book where he has marked his own people. And so salvation is not by our works, but by grace. It is the gift of God to enable us to trust in his Son and in the Savior. And yes, there is a book of works. And yes, there are sins that are marked down. But when our name is in the book of life, the Lord will step forward on that judgment day, and he will respond to every name in that book. And he will say, yes, Father, I confess this name before you. This is my blood-washed child. And I read of that in Revelation 3:5. This is the Lord's word to the church at Sardis. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. That's Revelation 3:5, the message to the church at Sardis. And so the final proceedings will be to cast out all those not found in the book of life. Back here in Revelation 20, look at verse 15, the final verse. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the great difference is made, the difference between sheep and goats. And that's another way the Lord has spoken of this judgment day, a day of separation, a day when he will separate the wheat from the tares. The Lord will make a difference between the righteous and the wicked, those whose names are in the book of life forever. Now, down here in this world, a Christian doesn't look like much and doesn't look much different. And in our Western culture, we have all kinds of clothes we wear, all kinds of attire that we wear, all mannerisms that we adopt. And you're hard put to go into a crowd and say, well, that's a Christian, and that's a Christian, and that's a Christian, that's not a Christian. It's hard put to tell a difference sometimes between Christians and non-Christians. But at the white throne, the book will be opened, the book of life, and the Lord will run down the list and he will find the name of the child of God and the unsaved who is not there is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, to wrap up tonight, you might be asking, what is this lake of fire? Albert Barnes, one of my favorite commentators, said, it does not mean that they will be annihilated, for death never implies that. The meaning is that this will be a cutting off from what is properly called life, from hope and happiness, from peace and the subjection to pain and agony, which it will be proper to call death. Death in the most fearful form. Death that will continue forever and ever. No statements in the Bible are more clear than those which are made on this point. No affirmation of the eternal punishment of the wicked could be more explicit than those which occur in these sacred scriptures. And he's referring to Matthew 25:46, where it talks about everlasting punishment and the righteous go into eternal life. And so what a picture we have. What a scene on that great day. And a Christian is a person who's living in light of that day. Everything we do, every decision we make, every witness we bear ought to be in light of that day when we shall give account. And every day that we live the Christian life, we are challenged by providence, circumstances, by opportunities to worship and witness, to act like a Christian, to be humble, to bear the fruit of repentance, righteousness, to be forgiving, turn the other cheek, ready to forgive, willing to encourage, and also standing up for Jesus against those blasphemies of this world. And the essence of the Christian life is that what I do this day, I'm going to give account before God. That permeates everything. And just like that verse, whatsoever therefore you do, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We ought to do all in light of that judgment day when we will stand before God. And so these are vital verses to establish our futures. A soldier was once wounded in battle, and he said that he was not afraid of dying, but he was terrified of what was beyond death. The act of laying down your life, maybe in blood in the battlefield, to many, of course, is fearful. But that soldier testified, that's not my fear. My fear is what is beyond that. And of course, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There is a judgment day. And the first thing to know is that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I took great comfort in that. If you go to Revelation 22, verse 27, 21, 27,
And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are in the Lamb's book of life. How do I know that my name is in the book of life? It's my relationship to Christ. It's my faith in Him. It's my assurance that I am redeemed by His blood. And it is that redemption that has written my name. And it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And by the way, on that judgment day, Revelation 6 talks about the wicked crying out for the mountains to cover them from the face of the Lamb. To the wicked, the Lamb will not be a comfort. But to believer, the word Lamb, the concept of Christ our Lamb, our sacrifice, our Redeemer, that comforts our hearts and fills us with wonderful assurance that it is well with our soul. And so to know that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's paramount. And then we live for that great day when Christ shall come forth and give account for us. He will bear our names before the Father. It will be well. And so take this to heart tonight. And we pray that we might be a people and a church that will ever call sinners to prepare and be ready for eternity. Our closing hymn is 323.
If ever there was a time when I need to use that text, prepare to meet thy God. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and you need to yield and give your heart to the Lord, calling upon Him to save you. And if I can be of personal help, give me a call, 604-897-2040. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope that I can be of personal help to you if you have prayer requests, prayer needs, and of course, if you can read the Bible, go to the Bible. That's the key need as you would seek God's salvation. And I would recommend John's Gospel. Read John's Gospel. Pray the Lord will open your mind and heart to understand the way of salvation. In these times of fear and almost panic in our land, this is the true place to find peace. We are called to prepare to meet our God, but we need to know the Savior, and you need to call upon Him to save you from your sins. I also want to invite you to join with us each day at this time for these programs on your local station. I also want to invite you on Sundays to listen in to our webcast from our Free Presbyterian Church. These are online services by webcast. Now go to our website at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday evenings, Pacific time, here in Greater Vancouver, and go to cloverdalefpc.ca. And at 10:30 and 6 p.m. local time here in Vancouver, you can join us for our online services. Now, my cell number is 604-897-2040, and I look forward to hearing from you. Give me a call, send me an email. Let me know you're tuning in. May God bless you through His Word.